Hey guys. Well, as he said, it's been a year to this weekend when I came up here and originally gave my testimony. And everyone seeing God work through my life, it rocked this church. It wasn't me, it was him, and it was what a beautiful, beautiful thing to see. Seeing some people have the breath of life just breathed into them for the first time. And the life that he gives us is, just like Melvin said, it's not one of mediocrity. It's not one of anything that's even close to normal. It's completely different than what the world says life should be. And for those of you that don't know, my testimony a year ago, I struggled with my past. I was bound to it. And that's the only thing that I could stick to, was everything was my past. It ruled me, and the things of this world guided my life completely. And what happened was, even though I claimed I knew Jesus, because I did, I remember saying it drunk several times, "Oh, Jesus is Lord, he's awesome." But he was not my Lord. He was not. My Lord gives me a life that of abundance. And I continued to let the enemy steal it, and I denied the power that he's given us. In 2 Timothy 3:1, and you guys don't have to turn to it, I can read it. And I'm not a very good reader. My gift isn't preaching. I don't think it is. But it is encouraging. And he's given me, I think he's given me an extra measure of faith, because I've been able to step out and do what he's called me to do. And I want that to encourage you, and I want my testimony, my life, to encourage you. But before, I want to expose who I was. And if you are this person, I want you to take this to heart, because this is real. It says, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love." I was so without love, I didn't know what love was. I didn't have a clue what love was. The only thing I loved was money. You see what I'm getting? Unforgiving. That was my curse. Slanderous. Without self-control, I couldn't control myself. So the only way I can have fun is if I'm totally living in debauchery or some sort of sin. That sin had me bound. It said I could not enjoy myself. Here, I'll just be straight up. I could not enjoy myself without having a beer in my hand. I could not do it. Said Saturday, if I went out on a Saturday or the weekend and I couldn't get drunk, it was a waste of time. It was a complete waste of time. Last Saturday, I set up on my place, my rock. And I just spent the whole day with Jesus in this word. Because it's so living, it produces so much life, and it feeds me in such a way that nothing else can. I could sit there all day long and not get bored, and just sit in his lap all day long. Amen. Shut my phone off, left it in my truck, walked a quarter mile away, and left for 24 hours, shut the world off. Went on a world fast. But here's what's scary. These people that Paul's warning Timothy, an emerging leader, says these people have a form of godliness, but they deny his power. Having a form of godliness, but denying his power. Have nothing to do with them. That was me. And I'll tell you what, guys, it's not a life to live. And I see, I'm very blunt. God's given me, I've been called a bulldozer, a wrecking ball. I've been called a lot of things because I'm very straightforward, and that's one of the gifts he's given me, and I think that comes along with courage. It's just part of it. That's one of the things he's given me. If you're one of these people, guys, it's who he's warning us to stay away from. There's a lot more here. There's a lot more in this word than coming to church on Sunday. Even if you come to church every time the doors open, you're missing out. I mean, you are. That is right, isn't it, Curtis? Isn't it, John? You know, life is making disciples. I'm looking at one of the disciples I made. Right, there's two of them right here. Gosh, like it is. That is what life is all about. It's a beautiful thing to see, fulfilling the Great Commission. I didn't mean, you know, I don't know. As soon as I looked over and I seen you sitting up front, man, I was like, oh, I needed that. And same with Bobby. I was like, oh, I need you guys right here. My encouragement. And you guys have been such encouragement to me, and I thank you so much. But anyways, I had the form of godliness, but I completely denied its power. I lived without God. I lived without Jesus, but I said I did. I lied. I was a complete liar. Everything religious that I spoke of was complete falsehood. I was taking the Lord's name in vain, saying I was a believer in Jesus Christ, yet walking in the world. Anytime I said I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, I was a liar. And like I said, I was taking his name in vain. I had no idea what it was like to be born again. I went up there, said the prayer, did all that, got baptized, but I had no idea what it was to be born again. And what you guys saw a year ago was a man that truly experienced God's power for the first time. A man that was born again. That put to death his sinful nature and nailed it to the cross and picked up his cross. There's a beautiful verse here. 1 Corinthians. Was it 2? The way Paul describes this. Paul wrote Corinthians, right? All right. Remember, I'm not educated or anything. But this was perfect. It says, when I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with the demonstration of the Spirit's power. A lot of you guys seen Spirit's power. All of a sudden, that form of godliness is like, whoa, what's happening here? Things are shaking up. There's some power in this. It's like, he's got something I don't. I don't know how many people I've talked to since the boat testimony, which I'm about to get into. They say, man, that's awesome. Like, I want that life. Now, I've had several people say that. But you say that, but do you really? You guys, it's not easy being a follower of Christ. Actually, taking up your cross every day is extremely hard. This is the hardest life I've lived. I remember I went a while back and just hung out with the old crew, and I just looked around and thought how easy that life is to live. You don't have to worry about anything. You can just say whatever you want to say, do whatever, and listen completely to the flesh. That's the easiest life to live, but you will not have any peace with that life. You will not have any fulfillment with that life. About a month after I came up here, I went back to the boat. I worked out on the ocean making a ton of money. And I was there and I heard God's call as plain as day to step off the boat and come and start a machine shop here in Hartville. He'd given me freedom from the past and released me from that bondage of sin. And then the Holy Spirit was indwelled in me, and then it started convicting me of more that I didn't know about. I didn't realize I had mass idolatry in my life. I didn't realize that money and success was what my whole life was centered around. God really, He stretched out His hand and offered me a chance to get closer. A chance to live by faith. Guys, He had been preparing this from when I was just a kid. Dad, did I not have a weird fascination with hydraulic cylinders when I was a kid? Didn't I? It was weird. Who has fascinations with hydraulic cylinders? They just blew my mind. And I was just drawn to them. And I was this tall. He blessed me mechanically. He wants to use that gift somehow. And I'm going to be honest with you guys. I'd never seen the inside of one before I started business around it. I'm not joking. He told me, he called me, you need to start this machine shop. I went to Votech. You need to do hydraulic cylinders. That's what's going to be your niche. I had never even seen it done before. YouTube, thank you. I went and I started a business around something I had never even seen before. And he has been delivering ever since. He's been delivering very, very, very good. In such a way, there's people's eternities have been changed by that shop. By me answering the calling, by me stepping out and saying, you know what, I'm not going to sit here in my comfort on this boat. I'm going to step out on the water and I'm going to follow you wherever you take me. And when I did that, I had to be fully prepared. I got two farms he's entrusted me with, and I had to be fully prepared to lose them both. I had to be fully prepared. When that song said, reaching out with your hands, here it is. That was me. I had to be completely prepared and completely willing. I had to put my fear of God before anything else, before the fear of men just trampling on me. Because, guys, I heard it and I seen it in a lot of y'all's eyes, like, that boy is crazy. He quit the best job that he probably had, one of the best jobs in this church, and he quit it to go start a stupid shop in Hartville. There ain't no way he's going to make it. I didn't want to start it. I didn't want to come home and tell everybody I quit my job because God told me to. And I sure didn't want to tell the bosses on the boat. I was stuck on the boat with him for a while, and it was weird. But those guys, they still call me every once in a while, and they are blown away because they didn't expect that. Almost all of them are unbelievers. And it's really something else to be able to display the power that He's given us. I don't have slides and stuff. The guys on that boat, this is when I started realizing what he was talking about. When there's a cost to following him. It costs your dreams. It costs all your selfish ambition. It costs you all the things that you thought were fun. What you see at first is it does cost at first. But then you realize it doesn't cost anything because you're getting 1,000 times in return.
Amen.
It's nothing. It's nothing compared to what he wants to give you. Anyone comes to me and does not hate his mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, and yes, even his own life, cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Do you understand what he's saying? Cannot. He wants you to live for him. And when he calls you out, he wants you to follow him. It's going to be hard because it's going to require faith. You're not going to know if you're going to make it or not. But you have to put your own life on the cross. And you have to carry it. It's tough. It's not easy. It's a lot more than coming up here and saying a prayer. Because guys, I came up here and I said a prayer and I was deceived because I was dead. I was dead. I didn't know what life was. It's not that easy. That's not how it works. Wayne Mack said, you're either a saint or you ain't. God is sheep or the goat. What are you? There's no middle ground. You're either hot or cold. Guys, and I've been cold since I've been saved. You guys seen it. I know, because a lot of you came up to me, and I'm glad you did. I got ice cold for a little while, because you know what? It got hard. It got real hard. And I gave up on some things. I said, I'm still going to follow you. I'm not going to fall back into my old stuff here. I'm going to coast for a while. And guess where I went? Straight back. Said, I didn't go through and just fall back into everything I used to do. But I did fall back into self-pity. And I whined. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his very self? If anyone is ashamed of my words and the Son of Man, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him. He will come when he comes in his glory, in his glory of the Father and of the holy angels. I tell you the truth. Some who are standing before you will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God. Guys, you have to give it all. He calls each and every one of us. If you had a fire and it went out, it's because he called you and you didn't answer. Because if I would have stayed on the boat, I would have fell right off. You can believe what you want to believe, but it's the truth. Whatever he's calling you to do, he's not calling you because he wants you to suffer. Granted, you will suffer a little bit because we're not called to a life of ease and control of everything. And when you don't have control of everything, it's hard. It's a tough life to live because you don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. But whatever it brings, you don't have to lose the things that he's given you. You don't have to lose that peace that he's given you. And that's one thing as a new believer that that's tough, is to believe that, hey, I don't have to sit here and struggle with peace. These things that he calls us to do, the number one thing is to make disciples. He called me back here so I'd come and I can make disciples. Then he wanted me to start that machine shop. Like I said, that machine shop's turned into a place where men go that don't want to go to a church. That men go if they need some Jesus talk. They come over to the shop and we have us to talk about Jesus. But how do we do it? How do we go about living in the way that pleases him, that he wants us to live? Guys, the number one thing that I've realized is that you got to believe in his word. Amen. And you actually have to believe him. Amen. And when he says, "For I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing." This is Jesus talking. "He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son of Man may bring glory to the Father. You may ask anything in my name, and I will do it." Guys, in his name, it's not only asking, it's living in his name. He's not going to answer you if you're living in your name. Because if you're living in your name, you're not living in his name. Like I said, there's only one or two. It's either God or the devil. Who are you living for? Yourself? Yourself is your flesh. Yourself is the devil. It's led by the devil, naturally. You got two voices. You got the flesh and you got the spirit. And your brain is the soul. That's the one that decides where does it want to go. You have the choice. This one's easy. Your flesh is easy. I bet a beer would still taste real good. I bet a cigarette, I would love a cigarette right now. I'll just be honest with you. I would really love a cigarette right now because it would make me feel good. It would make my flesh feel good, but it would sap my spirit. And I know that God, it's not God's will. It's out of his design to do these things. It's not what he had intentioned. And his word gives us everything we need to live the life that's pleasing to him. All we have to do is believe it. I'll tell you, anyone who has faith, that's all we have to do. And when we pray, we can't have any doubt. We have to take authority over whatever that is in our life that we're struggling with. And we have to know that when we pray, this is happening. He'll ask anything. If you're living in his name and you're asking in his name, he will do it. He wants you to do it. He wants you to ask bold prayers. I mean, bold prayers. He wants to see people get up out of wheelchairs. He wants to see the church, the place where sick come to get healed. He wants to see the church like it was in the book of Acts. People thought everyone was drunk because they were so spirit-filled. He can give you that joy and that peace. Guys, that peace. The whole time I was writing this out, I never got nervous. I felt the temptation come to get nervous, but I didn't. And God's word in Philippians 4:6 is, "Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." That peace is his bit in my mouth. That is how he guides my life. When I know I step out of his will, he takes that peace from me. It's very clear. And what's sad is we get a lot of people that come to church and they don't have peace because they're not saved. They've never seen the power of God working. They don't know that the chains that you're carrying from your past, that's the number one step. You got to get rid of your past. You can't be bound by it. God's given us the authority to take what he's given us. He's given us life to the fullest, abundantly. And too many times we just let the thief steal, kill, and destroy everything we have because he keeps bringing up all of our past. Said, you can't forgive this person. You don't have the power. No, you don't. You don't at all. You don't have the power. You can't go out and have fun without drinking. You don't have the power. No, you don't. Or I didn't. That was my weakness. But once I really got into his word, started seeing the power that he has given us, the authority that he has given us to rule, to let righteousness rule in our lives, that's when my life really started kicking into high gear. If I wouldn't have answered that call on the boat, guys, I don't know where I'd be. I've seen a lot, guys, I've seen you guys from the encounter come back and lose your fire. I don't know what God called you to do, but he wants you. And he's calling you into a better life. He's calling you into a better life. It doesn't seem like it at first because Satan's all over that. And he's trying to squash it. And he's trying to make you think, no, that's just me talking to myself, but it's not. If you keep hearing it over and over and over again, and you've lost your peace, you've let Satan steal it because you're afraid. Don't be afraid. You know, be encouraged. When Peter was Peter stepped out and walked on water. You know, dang. That's pretty cool. During the fourth watch tonight, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. Then the disciples saw him walking on the lake. They were terrified. It was a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Lord, if it is you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on that water. Come, he said. And Peter got down out of the boat and walked. Walked on water, but when he saw the wind, he was afraid, began to sink, and cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus reached his hand out and caught him and said, you of little faith. A man that just stepped out and walked on water said, you of little faith. Why'd you doubt? Guys, you know how many times he's told me that since I've started this machine shop? There's been times, even recently, that I ain't gonna have enough food. There ain't enough money to eat. You know, like, I got two farms to pay for, and I ain't got enough to eat. But he'd tell me that. He'd tell me that at the beginning. But now, when I hit tough times, Satan's lost his authority there. I've seen it. I've seen God come through time after time after time after time and say, this is what I've called you to do. Take courage. Have faith. I've got this. You don't. I've got this. You don't. Give me control. Surrender to me. What's God calling you guys? Guys, there's so many gifts that are lying here dormant. We come and we see one spiritual gift. We see Melvin preaching the word. Where's everyone? This is the body of Christ. He's just one part of the body. Where are you? Where are you, men of valor? Yeah. Stand up. Take courage. When he calls you out, step off the boat and walk towards him. Come, he will guide you. He will make straight your paths. And just remember, at the beginning of all wisdom, all knowledge is the fear of the Lord. You got to fear him more than anything else. You got to fear the absence of his presence more than anything. When I was on that boat and he called me, I knew without a doubt that if I don't answer this call, this presence is going to leave me, and then I'm dead. And I refused to do that. And I said, I'm going to follow you wherever you take me. If it costs me everything I own, I'm going to follow you. Wow, what a life it's been. This is the life God wanted for me. I had no idea what I was getting into. All Satan showed me at first was the bad. He said, you might lose this, you might lose that. You're not going to have control over anything. Phil, I was telling Phil how I run my business, and he's like, I'm not saying you're Satan. it was funny. It was just a few nights ago. And I really need someone that is good with numbers, because I'm telling you, my business is ran on faith. And I'm serious, it's completely ran on faith. For now, but it's running. It's running good. So when we pray, we have to pray without doubt. No matter what it is, if it's for a healing, if it's for a calling. Guys, if he's called you, and he's going to call you through the word and through his voice, it's him. And if he's calling you through both his word and his voice and others, gosh, sometimes he'll just have people just tell you. Just tell you. I had a guy last night sit here and tell me what this sermon, told me everything I'd wrote down. It blew me away. It was confirmation. It was God saying, this is me. This is what I want my people to hear. I was just blown away. And I didn't ask him how he knew that, because I knew. He didn't know that. God knew that. And God owns that man. And he just spoke right. He spoke life right into me. I mean, who knows? I could have been on the verge of being attacked by the anxiety and attacked by that worry and the doubt. And that just crushed it. But that one man's obedience, to go out and just go out on a limb and say, this is what's going on. This is what God wants you to know. And it was a beautiful thing. And you'll see things like that all the time if you start aligning yourself with God's word. I'm going to read you some scripture that's real heavy. 1 John, I used to tremble at them words, because 1 John scared me, because it convicts. You want to know if you're saved or not? Read 1 John. He'll tell you. Read it all the way through. He'll tell you, and don't sit there and whisper. Don't do like I did and said, oh, thank God for John 3:16. It just nullifies all this. I mean, that's what I did. I'm like, Jesus died so I don't have to listen to this. So I don't have to live like this. But the word, the truth, says, a man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Must walk as Jesus did. How did Jesus walk? Jesus walked and talked with authority. Jesus walked and talked with love. Yesterday, I spent the day with a practicing Muslim. And I loved that man. And that man seen it. And I had respect for that man. A man that the Marines had taught me to kill. As I spent 4 years of my life training to kill people. Those people. But now, I'm trying to kill their sinful nature. I'm still after their lives. I want their life. You know, I want to make them a disciple. I want to see life breathed into them by the obedience of Jesus. Or by obedience. I'm telling you guys, it's the only life worth living. There's no other life. There's no other life. I cannot say that enough. There is no other life. If you're not living for him, you're living against him. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of you also lived among... Man, guys, I'm sorry. I'm a little bit nervous. All of you also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following the desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. Man, how many times he say it? For it's by grace you've been saved through faith. What kind of fruit are you guys producing? Is it the fruit of the Spirit or the fruit of the flesh? Which voice are you listening to on a daily basis? When you look at my life, when you go and you see my private life, it is the same life you're seeing right here. Identical. I do not live any differently than I do right here in church. When I go home, I mean, I'll tell you anything you want about my private life because I don't allow, guys, there's sin. I sin. I'm not claiming to be perfect. I can't help that. But I don't allow sin that I know of. If I know it's there, I take authority of it and I cast it out. And it's not allowed in my life anymore. Too many people, too many Christians say, oh, we just got to struggle. I got to struggle with this one thing. I got to struggle with this unforgiveness for the rest of my life. No, it's not like that. He wants you to take authority over it. It has to submit to you. You've got the Spirit of God living in you. Instead of you submitting to him or to it, Jesus did everything with authority. Man, I was reading this morning. I was sitting up here. I got more scripture this morning as I was. During the days of Jesus' life, he offered up prayers and petitions and loud cries with tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Constant submission to God's word. Constant submission to his calling. Jesus was called to go and die on the cross for our sins, and he answered that call. How dare us deny his call when he calls? Just because he doesn't come out and stand before us and say, you need to go start a machine shop. Just because it requires a little bit of faith. If you go back to 2 Timothy 3, all those things, lovers of money, lovers of self, disobedient to their parents. Those people, they're lacking the power of God in their life. They're denying it. They're not living as Jesus did, like it said in 1 John. Living as Jesus did. I mean, I'm sorry I keep repeating myself, but I kind of see the look on everyone's faces. And me and Kristen used to give Bruce in the milk barn. If you know Brother Bruce, he doesn't talk very loud. And in the milk barn, me and Kristen, he's sitting there, And he'd leave, and we'd look at each other and be like, what did he just say? I don't know. Hope we don't put a hot cow in a tank. But we never did. I don't know how. God was with you, Bruce. I'm telling you, we didn't hear what you said most of the time. We really didn't. Guys, God cannot prove his faithfulness, and you cannot prove his faithfulness until you exercise your faith, until you step out and say, I'm going to answer that calling. You've called me to do this, dang it, I'm going to do it. It may cost me everything I got, but I'm going to do it. Because you're either walking towards him or you're walking away from him. You can believe what you want to believe, and I'm telling you, the Word of God simply says you must walk as Jesus did. You must. This is not an option. You must walk as Jesus did. We can't do that in our own power. We have to be perfectly submissive to him, just like God, or he was to God, to the Father. Guys, I know you've heard the hotel analogy because Melvin's your preacher. But this analogy changed my life. Because when I heard it at the men's encounter, I was like, that's when the fire got in my eyes and I said, I'm going to give you everything. So there was an infestation in a hotel of rats and vermin. And the guy that comes to kill him, what do they call him? Exterminator. Comes in and says, I have to have the key to every single room. Because if you leave one room untreated, it's pointless. Because as soon as I leave, that infestation from that room is going to spread to every other room that we've cleaned out. When I heard that, that's when I got real. Because I thought, you know, there's just a couple things that I need to give to God. And when I heard that, I realized I got to give it all to God. There's no halfway. There's no on the fence. You said that one day in Sunday school. Okay, what's it? We're all sitting on the fence, and you just come through and bulldoze right through the fence. But hey, got you guys off of it. You know, man, the life I've seen breathed into this church, it's because God's power was displayed. You couldn't deny the power of God. That was amazing, and he wants to do that in all y'all's lives, every single one of you. All of you guys have a calling. It may not be to quit your job. It may not be to start a machine shop. But it's something. And the world's going to tell you you're stupid for trying it. The world's going to hate you. Guys, following Jesus, it's the hardest thing you'll ever do. Walking with Jesus is the hardest thing that you'll ever do. It is not a come up here, say a prayer, you're good, you got your fire insurance, you're going to heaven. It is not like that. I am going to come up here and boldly say that before you, because I am sick of seeing the pain in you guys' eyes. I'm sick of seeing the struggle. Granted, we're all going to go through a little bit of struggle, but that's just to teach us to take authority over that struggle. The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I've spoken to you are Spirit, and they are life. Yet, there are some of you who do not believe. And I know probably most of you will leave here and still not believe. Will still go out and say, well, you know, I said the prayer. I'm good. He don't know what he's talking about. I hope not. I hope you guys really see the power that I denied for so long. I hope you guys see the authority that he has given us. I've just got a couple more. Slides would have really been nice. I have given you authority to trample snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Guys, this church needs to start taking that seriously. Guys, there's gifts of healing in here. God's calling some people in here to heal, and you ain't answering. Someone's eternity is relying on you answering your call. People's eternity relied on me answering my call. I've just seen this much of it. I've got my whole life to go. God is not going to call you to live a life of mediocrity, of the ordinary. My life is just obedience to this. And everyone looks at it like it's crazy. And if you're looking like it's crazy, it's because you're not living it, most likely. The brotherhood that comes with it, guys, I've been to war. And the brotherhood that I felt there, going through the hardest time of my life, is actually starting to pale in comparison to the same brotherhood I experienced with John, with Bobby, with Melvin, with Caleb. As we fight battles every day, we do. Said this, it's not easy. He didn't call us to a life of ease. He called us to a life of carrying our cross daily. Man's always been used to fulfill God's will and God's promises. We just got done studying the book of Joshua, and now that book has a whole new meaning in my heart. Men, we're conquerors. He has armed us with all the authority to overcome the evil one. All authority. We need to take back what Satan stolen from us. And we need to start stepping out on faith and start utilizing the gifts God's calling you to use. Guys, it's not going to be easy. It's just not. Don't be sit there glued to your comfort zone. You can't grow in your comfort zone. You can't. Is that right? You're never going to be comfortable again. I'll offer an invitation to you guys. If God's calling you, or He has called you and you've denied it, if you've lost the fire because you got scared and you let the fear of man override the fear of God in your life, come up here and take authority over it. He's given it to you. His word says so. He doesn't want you to live that life of mediocrity. He wants you to live life to the fullest. And this calling He's calling you to is the life of abundance that He promised. And the longer you deny it, the longer you're going to let the thief steal it. So don't let him steal it anymore. And guys, if you came up here, and hopefully, maybe today, you realize, man, I don't think I'm saved. I've been denying this. I have not been walking the way Jesus has. Come up and receive. But guys, if you don't plan on coming up here and giving your life to Christ completely, wholly, don't come up here. I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm not going to be the one to come up here and say, come up here and say this prayer and you're saved, because that isn't it. That is not it. It's a hard life, but it, like I said, it is the only life worth living. Trust me when I tell you this. I hate to see it. I hate to see men giving their kids absolutely everything except the spiritual leader they need. Where are you, men? When your wives come up here, why am I praying over them? You men should be jealous of that. God's a jealous God. Not all jealousy is bad. Come up here. Don't be scared to pray over your wife. You know how pleasing that is to God? You two are one. He wants you guys to do everything together. He wants you to grow together. Don't let me come over here and pray over your wife. Do it yourself. You know? Come on. Let's see some unity. Let's see some gifts. If God's calling you to do something that, I mean, requires faith, a lot of faith, just do it. Look at my life. I wasn't living. Out on that boat, I was making all the money in the world. I was not living. Completely dead. And I've got just a little bit more scripture. If I could find it. This is good stuff. Now what I am commanding you to do today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven, so that you have to ask who will descend into heaven or ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it. Nor is it beyond the sea, so that you have to ask who will cross the sea and get it or proclaim it to us so that we may obey it. No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth, and it is in your heart, so that you may obey it. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. So I command you today to love the God, or love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, and to keep His commandments, decrees, and laws, so that you will live and increase. And then the Lord, your God, will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you are not obedient, And if you're drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, that's the gods of agriculture. That's the gods of success. That's the God of patriotism. That's the God of family. That's the God of love of self. That's the God of control. Who are you bowing down to? That's the gods of entertainment. Who do you worship every night? I declare to you this day, you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live among the land you are crossing into in the Jordan, or over the Jordan. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, so that I set before